Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I should have Denny throw on a headset here this morning. He's hanging out in studio. Yeah, throw that one on there, Denny, if you want to. Former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg here in the house in the early morning hours. Denny, great to see you.
Hey, good to see you as well.
Yeah.
And you did a lot of Americans for Prosperity trips.
I did. Yeah, you drew the short straw and had to run for Congress. And I got to do all these over 100 events. I think we did 105 events.
Yep.
Over the course of the last few months. And
well, I got him to quit sending me blankets and coffee cups. And when I said, no, I'm just the receptacle of all your stuff.
Yeah,
I got to send it to Aaron for his
events. Denny was going to do all these AFP events. And then, so he had all this swag up at the ranch. And so I had to bring my pickup up there and load up all these boxes. And I think we gave out every single one of those blankets and coffee mugs. And we got to meet a ton of great people all across. I almost felt like I was running for Congress because of all the events we were doing. It was incredible getting to meet people.
And Americans for Prosperity are a great organization. Back in the day, it was the Koch brothers. David was still alive, and I ran for the Senate in 2012 against Tester, and they were big in my campaign. They were very helpful as an independent expenditure, and they did this whole Badenomics thing, and it was a natural fit for you to do it because
it was great.
Could do the radio program. You could advertise it on the radio. A lot of people came out. I followed it, and you did a great job.
Yeah,
well, we won.
It was fun. Well, when we had the now Senator-elect Tim Sheehy on the show, he even credited Americans for Prosperity Action for what they did. They knocked on over 500, maybe 600, 7,000 doors they knocked on across Montana. And, man, to have an army like that boots on the ground, it's very key. Because you can have all the air war you want, but if you don't have a ground war, it's tough.
See, and that's what we didn't have. They perfected it from 2012 forward, because when they helped me, we didn't have any of that. And if you looked at the polls with me and Tester back in 2012, we were tied up. I was ahead 9 out of 10 polls that were out there. Everybody thought I was going to win. Well, the problem is we didn't see the ground game the Tester campaign had. And then we didn't adjust for the same-day registration and voting. So use Metro as an example.
Well, and I think
you got into Metro.
Don Kaye and the MTGOP had a better ground game, I think, this year as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the problem was, when they got into Metro, they could register and vote even after 8 o'clock. So they were still registering people at 2 in the morning. We didn't see it coming.
That's crazy.
We were as sophisticated.
Well, and we've had a demographic shift in Montana. We are a much more conservative state demographically now. And, you didn't have a Donald J. Trump on the ballot.
I did not.
I mean, Obama, he was popular with independents and with Democrats, so he gave them a reason to show up,
but
too,
His national campaign was all Montanans. Jim Messina was his campaign, Obama campaign manager.
Yeah.
He's from Montana. He had Celinda Lake, the top Democrat pollster. She's from Montana. He had Stephanie Schrock, the head of Emily's List, the pro-abortion people. She's from Montana. He had Nancy Keenan, former Emily's List. She's from Montana. And so everybody was focused on Montana at the time.
That's
And that was tough to overcome with Obama as president.
That's right.
Running for re-election.
Well, this is really exciting news. Denny Rehberg is actually, not next week, but the week after that, I'm going to be out for about 4 days. David Noble is in a, work stuff that week. So Denny Rehberg is going to be filling in right here on Montana Talks. So that's exciting stuff. Stand by, back right after this quick break.
Securing America.
The head of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, Admiral Samuel Paparo, raised alarms Tuesday during a conversation with the Brookings Institution concerning the effects of U.S. support for Ukraine on other theaters. Paparo says he wasn't originally concerned because most of the weapons provided to Ukraine were mainly artillery and short range. But now,
with some of the Patriots that have been employed, some of the air-to-air missiles that have been employed, it's now eating into stocks, and to say otherwise would be dishonest.
Admiral Paparo says this is particularly significant concerning the military's ability to respond in his area of responsibility.
Because the PRC is the most capable potential adversary in the world.
The admiral says the fix is actually quite simple.
We should replenish those stocks and then some.
Paparo adding,
it's a time for straight talk.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, looking at high temperature readings in the upper 40s around 50. For tonight, clouds and an isolated shower chance still in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, low temperatures ranging from the upper 20s to the mid-30s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, so you heard me mention the news that this violent Venezuelan gang, this gang of illegal aliens from Venezuela, is now confirmed to be operating here in Montana. I've got the full details. Go to MontanaTalks.com. It includes the New York Post report and much more. Plus, if you download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, I spoke with a former advisor to the Secretary of Homeland Security, and he gave us some great insight on Trinidad Aragua as well. So download the Montana Talks app for audio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you guys want to call in here, give us a call here this morning in the 6 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got David Noble joining us. David Noble joins us every Thursday. But, yeah, I'm just kind of showing Denny the ropes in the studio. He's showing me the ropes on, you know, Congress and, you know, history of Montana politics and so much more. And so I'm just going to show him the ropes on how we run the phone lines and everything here in the studio. So he is really just sitting in this morning to kind of watch how the show is run from a technical standpoint, so that when he's here guest hosting the show for a few days that first week of December, right after Thanksgiving, he's going to be here in the house right after Thanksgiving. And so so if you call in right now, then that'll help us, because I can show Denny, hey, here's how we answer line one, here's how we answer line two, here's how you drop a call so you can move on to the next one, etc. But I'll keep this microphone on in the meantime here too. Little inside baseball over the airwaves is we try to figure out how to press the buttons. So I'm just glad you have Jan here to keep you in line.
I brought my lawyer just in case.
I was going to say, it's
if you
good.
Fire me, it's a discrimination.
And then if you start wandering, see, I need my wife here, like, Aaron, what are you talking about right now? Wait, here, talk about this. Here, talk about this. Just get your back on track.
I wouldn't want to go up against Jessica. I know better.
So I don't know if you got a chance to watch this, but the Crow Revenue Act is a bill. Congressman Ryan Zinke's carrying the bill in Congress right now to keep the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup up and running.
Yep.
I listened to a little bit of this back and forth, and I watched a little bit of this hearing. You have Chairman White Clay, the chairman of the Crow Tribe, testifying in support of a bill called the Crow Revenue
Act. And a letter written by all of the, or a resolution by all of the councilmen.
And then you had, of course, two of Montana's congressmen, the East and the West, testifying in support of it. And then on the other side, they have a guy named Durf Johnson, a uppity liberal white environmentalist guy, because I've seen him on Twitter for a number of years. He went to the University of Montana, so we know who a lot of times these cast of characters are. He's one of these like woke white liberal environmental radicals. And here he is saying how bad this bill is for the Crow Tribe.
And AOC.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was there, too. So it's like, wow, who do we listen to here? The chairman of the Crow Tribe and the elected officials from Montana, or some woke white liberal guy from an environmental outfit?
They just can't move away from their environmental philosophy. They just can't do it. And this is the best thing that ever happened to them this election, because they will raise a lot of money for their various organizations. I can't begin to tell you how much the Sierra Club and all the rest of these environmental wackos are going to make off of the things that Trump is doing right, and the Department of Interior and all the rest of them. It's a money thing now, because those organizations live off the money they collect, and you create a contrast, and they're just going to be out there pounding the heck out of Trump and all of his nominees.
A lot of people don't realize, I had a friend, I think he had a sister who worked high up as communications person and at various government agencies. She spent time at the Pentagon. Then she went over to the Department of Interior. He said she couldn't believe it. She thought that the Pentagon had to put up with a bunch of far-left wacko reporters that were, always trying to undermine the U.S. military and question the military. She says, they got nothing.
Oh, no.
On the Department of Interior and the environmental bias in the media.
Oh, yeah.
That just hounds these government agencies day in and day out.
Yeah, that was my expertise, was Department of Interior Resources, and David Bernhardt was the Secretary of Interior. I've worked with him for 25 years. He's a personal friend, and the stories they tell of what the environmentalists do. And unfortunately, they used Equal Access to Justice Act, which was supposed to help small businesses. It ended up exactly the wrong thing. The unintended consequence was the environmental groups sue. And they have liberal judges. They win. They get a big settlement back for having won the lawsuit. And so the American taxpayer is funding the environmental groups to sue us. How stupid is that?
But I just thought this whole big picture of this Bull Mountain Mines, you know, Crow Revenue Act hearing on Capitol Hill was so symbolic of American politics, where here you have the Crow people themselves saying, here's what's best for the Crow people. And then a bunch of woke white liberals and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world saying, no, we know what's best for you. We, you know, the liberals know what's best for you.
You know what's ironic? I can use my history now. Back in the early days, Jim Murray was the head of the AFL-CIO, and then you had the environmental groups, and the AFL-CIO saw they were losing power, political power, just, you know, voting. They couldn't keep their people in office. They were losing. So they decided to team up with the environmentalists for the purposes of keeping the Democrat party alive. And you know what ended up happening? The environmentalists put the AFL-CIO workers out of business. And so all of a sudden, wait a minute, this is kind of an unholy alliance. Why did we ever hook up with the environmentalists? Well, Mr. Murray, you idiot, you signed up with them for political power, and it ended up costing all your guys their jobs.
And it still happens to this day. These liberal federal judges, even the liberal federal judge in Butte, if it comes down to who do I support, the union jobs in the oil and gas industry or the environmental wackos, they side with the environmental wackos.
And that's,
in Butte, even.
And that's why the election matters, because the president gets to appoint, or the Justice Department, the new district court judges, and we had a whole generation of Bacchus judges out there. Thank God they're retiring. They're all getting old like me, and they're retiring. Unfortunately, the people of America voted in Clinton and then voted in Obama, and we're still trying to recover from the Obama nominations. He puts young people in, ideologues for that particular segment of American society.
So as you can see, the red light is flashing, so we've got a caller on the phone lines, but you can also hear the music. That means when that music fires, we got 30 seconds to go to the hard break, so we'll get to the caller after the Farm and Ranch Report. This is kind of an extended break here in the early morning hours. We got the Farm and Ranch Report, more Montana news. But yeah, your quote about the unholy alliance between the unions and the environmentalists is one of the top five all-time Montana quotes people need to memorize.
Yep.
Military matters.
A study from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York shows veteran employment after the military lags behind similar non-veterans. But some vets are finding success in careers in the oil and gas industry. Army veteran Joshua McCaslin says his time in the military prepared him for the high-pressure work at Deep Well Services as an operator.
You could come out of the military, go right into an oil and gas job, and pretty much feel right at home.
The company aims to grow veteran employment to 10% of the company. Here's John Sabo, Senior Vice President for Deep Well Services.
The veterans that we've been able to hire throughout the last decade have been, you know, able to rise and be very successful at the company, both in the field and develop into larger positions within our office and leadership team.
Deep Well Services offers on-the-job training, allowing the company to welcome military veterans regardless of experience in the energy industry. With Military Matters, I'm Lydia Hu, Fox Business.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine around the area today, a few rain or snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, looking at high temperature readings in the upper 40s around 50. For tonight, clouds and an isolated shower chance still in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, low temperatures ranging from the upper 20s to the mid-30s around the region. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The Department of Homeland Security now confirming that the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua, TDA, is now confirmed to have a presence in Montana. Of course, if you've been listening to Montana Talk since day one, you would know exactly what has been happening with our southern border and this invasion taking place, especially in the last 3.5 years. Montana Talks, it's the show where you get to talk and we cover the big issues. Statewide, Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, when President Donald Trump took office in 2017, for the first time, his agriculture department swiftly rolled back Obama-era efforts to strengthen enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act. And Washington insiders say now that he's won re-election, his administration will once again decide the fate of a new set of Biden administration competition proposals and rules. According to AgriPulse this morning, his next administration may well follow a similar course, scrapping a slate of proposals aimed at bolstering livestock producer protections under the Packers and Stockyards Act. But with many new advisors at Trump's side and more to be named, it's possible the policies of his next term will diverge from those of the past. Under the leadership of Biden-appointed Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, the agency has finalized two rules aimed at increasing livestock producer protections under the Packers and Stockyards Act, and two more rules have been proposed but not yet finalized. So the fate of these rules, they say, will likely rest on Trump's choice for Agriculture Secretary. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Cattlemen, do you want to improve your herd's health and simplify your feeding routine? SmartLick low-moisture tubs are the answer. Self-fed, weather-resistant, and convenient, SmartLick is packed with everything needed to balance diet, support weight gain, and improve productivity. SmartLick is not just another tub. It's the dependable way to get results. Find your dealer at SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com.
The Vermilion Ranch Fall Performance Sale is November 29th and 30th at Pays in Billings, Montana. On Friday the 29th, 1,500 of Montana's best fancy commercial bred heifers sell. Then Saturday the 30th, 320 performance bulls sell. 170 outstanding fall yearlings and 150 big stout come and twos. The top of the fall breeding program with genetics from Vermilion Leo, Sit Savvy, and more. View lots and bid live on Northern Livestock Video. Friday's sale starts at 1 o'clock, Saturday at 11 a.m. at Pays in Billings, Montana. Well, according to the Western Livestock Journal, the Bureau of Land Management has announced several new partnerships that will receive up to $25 million in funding to help adopt wild horses and burros. Five new public-private partnership agreements are intended to help place about 11,000 wild horses and burros over and above the existing adoption program. Now, the agreements, they say, are with Texas-based Forever Branded, Oregon-based Teens and Oregon Mustangs, Colorado-based Meeker Mustang Makeover, California-based Sacramento Sheriff's Office Wild Horse Program, and Washington-based Mustang Yearlings Washington Youth. And finally this morning, it looks like a new report out says that banks could be more hesitant to lend to the farm sector, just as the agricultural industry is expected to enter a major credit crunch. Rabobank says that could disproportionately hurt smaller producers in the process. After 2 years of near record profits, a significant drop in crop prices is pushing more producers now to take out loans. Although farmers have built up somewhat of a liquidity buffer to manage the downturn, Rabobank says that those savings are in fact expected to run out by the next crop year. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Thanks to Nancy and Roundup for calling in this morning so I can show Denny the ropes here. First, some more training for you, Denny Rehberg, Montana Congressman, former Congressman Denny Rehberg, and former Montana Lieutenant Governor here joining us this morning as he's going to get ready to guest host the show in December for a few days. The other show tip is during the 6:20 break, fill up your coffee.
Yep.
go BS with the breakfast eggs.
I did already.
And then don't forget to be back on time. Because you know? So, that happened to us one day that the, the egg report didn't fire, and Caden comes down the corner, hey, you're back on. We're like, oh, okay, all right. But, you know.
Well, I've known the Flakes for literally 25 or 30 years.
Those guys are characters.
They are indeed.
So I've got Nancy queued up on the phone lines there. Now I'm going to turn on the phone microphone. Nancy, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, and welcome, Denny, to the Montana Talks family.
Thank you, Nancy. Voice.
The last time I heard you was here in at our Lincoln Reagan dinner in March in Roundup. I've got a two-parter for you today. I'd like to get your thoughts. The first has to do with the end of wokeness in the United States. Yesterday we heard Speaker Mike Johnson give the order and direction that you have to use the restroom of your biological sex, birth sex, in Washington, D.C. And also, we're seeing Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Trump. They're going after the federalized school system. They're giving more rights to the states, which I think is just absolutely wonderful. And the second part of my chat this morning, okay, we've got Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz has always been, you know, a nuclear type of personality and high-strung and very controversial. And I know when Trump announced him for his attorney general, I saw a grimace on his face because he knew this was going to cause the friction that we're seeing today. Now, I see just a little bit of immaturity in Matt Gaetz during the a Republican National Convention. I got to watch about 95% of it. There was one fly in the ointment, and that is when Kevin McCarthy was called up to the podium to speak, and right away Matt Gaetz stood up and started to scream and yell, nobody wants to hear you, nobody wants to hear you speak, boo, boo, boo. And, you know, to me, that is immaturity for a man his age. And I do think that he's going to grow up a lot, and I do think that he will be our attorney general because Trump.
So you think he'll be confirmed?
Man.
Yeah, despite
yes, I do.
Opposition
yeah.
from some of his fellow Republicans. Yeah. Well, Nancy, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the phone call, Denny. Did you ever think?
Well, let me make a side note.
Okay, go for it.
What
yeah,
you
yeah.
said about wokeness. This is totally. I might hear music.
Oh, that's all right. Go for it. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I know somebody.
You got 30 seconds.
I know somebody who's working on wokeness with Vivek. My daughter-in-law went to work for him.
Really?
And she was the undersecretary in Trump in immigration, which is in Homeland Security. She got fired because of Biden. And so she moved out to Columbus, Ohio. She worked.
Listening to Fox News.
Yeah, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. If you want to help me help show Denny Reberg how to run the phone lines here on the show. Denny, you know, Nancy brought this up. Can you believe when you served, how many years? You were the longest serving statewide Montana congressman, I think.
Ever,
right?
In the history of Montana.
Ever in the history of Montana.
Yep, 12
Did
years.
You ever think that you would have to tell a congressman to stay out of the woman's bathroom?
I didn't even know where the woman's bathroom was. I knew where the men's was, but I couldn't tell you where the women's is.
I mean, this is just unbelievable. So there's the transgender lawmaker from, I think, Delaware, this McBride, Congressman McBride, a biological man who identifies as a woman, kind of like Zoe Zephyr up in Missoula. I forget what the new House district number is there, but now Zoe Zephyr went on X and said that he went into the women's bathroom in when he went and visited Congress, and it's like, wow, that's pretty rude. But this Congressman McBride, after being rebuffed by Speaker Johnson and saying, no, men cannot go into women's bathrooms. Women deserve safe spaces like the restroom, et cetera. McBride is now saying that Congressman McBride will not go into the women's bathroom. But for Zoe Zephyr in Missoula, oh, no, he's doubling down,
yep.
You know.
I can honestly say I'm stunned because I did not have to deal with that in the 12 years I was there.
Yeah. All right. So you can see, I think you were playing around with the phone lines here. So that one's flashing yellow. I don't think that's a caller, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that one on hold just in case if it is a caller. And then Travis, our producer, will We'll check in on the phone line to see if somebody's there or not on line one. We do have Tom in Billings on line two. And then after the break, Denny, we'll get your take on Congressman Matt Gaetz. Tom, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. My question and my concerns about Tulsi Gabbard. You know, she was a liberal Democrat. She was far left of Bernie. She actually is on a no-fly list because she met with the leader of Syria, and so did Nancy Pelosi. She has not really, you know, she was thrown under the bus by the liberal Democrat parties, including, you know, John Tester. And my question is why hasn't she come out and totally gone to the right under Donald Trump?
Well, I think she has in a number of different categories, especially pushing back against the woke agenda. But I would also add she is being nominated for, you know, ONDI, the National Director of Intelligence. So she's going to be focused truly on, you know, on intelligence, national security, et cetera. But no, but I think she's very clearly been pushing back against the woke agenda and so much more. Anyway, we'll get Denny Reberg's take as we keep showing him how to work the phone lines for when he fills in on the show here. Quick break.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here. Yeah, we got the former Montana Congressman Denny Reberg in the house learning the ropes because he is gracious enough to fill in for us here the first week of December, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. That's going to be some fun series of shows for you to get to listen in on and jump in on the phone lines and so much more. Golly, I've got my stack of stuff here. I don't even need the stack of stuff today. We got your stack of history of the issues in Montana politics and more. Before we get to Buck and Bozeman on the phone lines here, Denny, your thoughts, Matt Gaetz, you know, I mean, he caused a lot of division in the House Republican caucus. Some liked it, some hated it. But now President Trump wants him to be the attorney general. You know, I'll tell you what, even if you're one of those Republicans that maybe didn't like Matt Gaetz, I tell you what, wouldn't you want his tenacity and his relentless pursuit going right after this Department of Injustice? But it does make it a little more challenging as he's now trying to go before these senators and say, would you please support me? I know that I might have said some things about you, but would you please support me nonetheless?
Yeah, nominations have an amazing ability to change people's personality. You know, I actually served with vice presidential candidate Walz. He was a great guy. He was really nice. He never flipped his arms around. He didn't jump up and down. He wasn't a goofball like he was as he ran. And so different circumstances change your personality. You know, one of the people I had problems with on my subcommittee when I chaired the Labor H Appropriations was Jeff Flake, and I thought he was headed for the stars. And then all of a sudden he went crosswise, got weird, and ended up not running for re-election in Arizona. He lost his job.
And then he endorsed Kamala Harris. What is happening with these guys? Did they let their egos or their internal fights get the best of them?
Yeah,
you
but
think?
We all have it. Keep in mind, you don't get to be a congressman, a senator, a presidential candidate, or even a state legislator without a certain amount of confidence, let's call it, arrogance, eccentricity, because, you know, it's not a lot of fun to go door-to-door and have somebody yell at you, sit their dog on you. You're at the legislature, and you call you an idiot. You know, somebody after the election in 2012 said, well, Danny, I don't mean to insult you, but I said, wait a minute. Tester and I spent $50 million on the race, 25 each. Everything that could be said about me has been. So you're just not going to insult me. So don't worry about it.
And even if you do, it's not on TV and radio all day, every day. So
well, sometimes it is. You say something stupid, it's on all day, every day.
That's right.
Matt Gaetz has some challenges to get across the line, but there's time. They'll vet them over the course of December, whether it'll be a nomination or an appointment before during the break. I don't know. But, you know, Matt's resume is going to have to stand on his own. His comments are going to have to stand on their own. And ultimately, the Senate gets to make the decision, will they or not? How will they? I have no idea. I feel a lot of confidence in the leadership. I served with Thune, Barrasso, and Shelley Moore Capito is number four. So the top four people in the Senate are personal friends of mine, South Dakota, Wyoming, and West Virginia. That's where they're from.
Speaking of Wyoming, Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, she had some interesting, good remarks about Congressman Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Maybe I'll play that one here this hour of the show. All right, so I mentioned we got Buck in Bozeman on the phone line, so I'm going to double tap that phone line, make it solid yellow, and then I'm going to come over here and turn that phone microphone on. Buck in Bozeman, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, thanks for taking the call. I just was listening to you guys, and apparently I have no self-control, so I had to call.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah.
We're talking about getting rid of wokeism, which is my favorite topic on the planet, so thank you for that. But then I hear you guys use the word biological male, and I feel like that is a woke term. I feel like there is boy, man, male, and if you like, you can go with testicle-toting vertebrate.
So whenever this whole transgender topic comes up, like when they say trans man, trans woman, okay, what do they mean? Do they mean a man that wants to pretend to be a woman? Do they mean a woman that wants to pretend to be a man? So that's why I try to simplify it by saying, okay, this is a biological male who identifies as a woman. Because I don't do this whole, if you're not a man, I'm not going to call you he, him. Or if you're not a woman, I'm not going to call you she and her. Like, that's just, I'd be lying to our listeners. I would be giving a false impression. But I get your point. I think your point is like, hey, just call him a man. You don't need to say biological male. It's a man, baby. Yeah, to quote Austin Powers, right?
After the election, somebody sent me a cartoon of Kamala holding up a sign, and it said, "New proteins, pronouns, out of here."
yeah, exactly. Let's see. So this was something I had a few listeners message me yesterday. You know, we were talking about the liberal federal judges. Oh, before I get to that one, though, see, you're going to have so much fun. You're going to have 4 days of shows, and you're going to find out after those 4 days of shows, you still didn't get to talk about everything you wanted to talk about because you've got such a rich history here in Montana. But Lightbrows and Hardin sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. He made a point how, hey, the Democrats still got a majority of the minority vote, but he said that the majority of the union vote went to the Republicans. I didn't see that breakdown yet. It wouldn't surprise me if the Republicans did get the majority of the union vote, at least the blue-collar working unions, maybe not the MEA, MFT types of the world.
But. Let's go back in history a bit. Back in the old days, when I was in the legislature, I could appoint people to the Reapportionment Commission. It's two Republicans, two Democrats, and they have to get along to pick the fifth. And so for the first 10 years, I put my dad on there, and it worked just fine. The Supreme Court Justice was the fifth, and they all got along. There wasn't gerrymandering. The second 10 years, I put Dad back on it, but they couldn't agree to who the fifth was going to be. And the Democrats wanted Jeanine Pease Winneboyd, and they wanted a Native American. And the two Republicans didn't want to do that. They wanted an independent as the fifth person. So we decided to test them because they turned down every nomination the Republicans and my dad put forward. I said, let's find out how far they're willing to go on putting a Native American on the Reapportionment Commission as opposed to somebody that's not philosophically driven for one party or the other. I had them nominate Jerry Driscoll, AFL-CIO. And they turned him down. They voted him down. And that ticked off Jerry, and he ran against the leadership in AFL-CIO and took him out and took over that organization, Jerry Driscoll, right here in Billings, Montana. And it was kind of fun because it was a test to see how far were they going to go with their philosophical bent of wanting to try and drive. And we have seven reservations at the time. They ended up with 12 Native American legislative districts. So that'll tell you how you can play with the gerrymandering.
And now we'll talk about a turn.
turn of events. Well, first off, then Jerry Driscoll, he's one of those, you know, union leaders that actually stood on principle, like some more of these union leaders are starting to do now in the Trump era. And he started calling out the Democrats for, you know, the unholy alliance with the environmentalists and things like that.
Jerry actually reads the bills. And when the Democrats got control of the legislature when I was there in 1989, my last session, they kicked me off appropriations, which was unheard of, put me on taxation, sat me way in the back. But I've been up early. So I got in there and I changed the name tags in the committee room. And when the chairman came in, he saw I was sitting next to Jerry Driscoll up at the front. He was a Democrat. I was a Republican. But I wanted to sit next to Jerry because he reads the bills. He actually understands it. And we had a good working relationship, Republican and Democrat. And that's how you get things done in Congress or in the state legislature.
So how long did you want to stick around this morning and watch kind of the show? Because if you want to stick around for like the 8, 9 o'clock hours, you could stick around longer then. But if you want to run, that's okay. Because I know you guys are – you're going to be covering in the so big for us here in the next, starting the first week of December. But and then, of course, we got David Noble joining us here in the 7 o'clock hour. I felt the pain of Senator Steve Daines on Monday. So the Democrats are trying to ram through every liberal federal judge they can here. They're trying to pack the courts with these liberal federal judges here during this lame duck session of Congress before Team Trump comes into play and the Republicans control the House and the Senate. And I had a few listeners ask me yesterday. They said, hey, where was Steve Daines? Because there was a judge that got through, a liberal judge that's going to cover Florida, Georgia, that area, got through on a 49-45 vote. J.D. Vance wasn't there for the vote, apparently. Steve Daines wasn't there for the vote. Well, he actually, good job by Steve Daines by, you know, being transparent. And he went on Twitter and addressed these concerns of people who said, hey, why weren't you at this vote for this one judge? Because, you know, Thune's trying to slow roll this by doing every judge. They can't just go, you know, mass put these judges through. But anyway, he says, I started my Monday, like most Mondays the past 12 years, at the Bozeman Airport at 4:45 a.m., the runway got closed due to ice, then prolonged de-icing, then there was a medical emergency, then the Delta flight attendants timed out. So he started his morning at 4:45 in the morning at the Bozeman Airport, didn't land in D.C. until 10 p.m., and they were voting until midnight.
And they just don't have the flights like they used to. And that's why I got on the Aviation Subcommittee and on the Transportation Committee when I went to Congress. Unfortunately, September 11th happened, and we spent all our time on aviation security. But at that time, before that happened, I was bringing American Airlines into Billings, Montana, and that ended very quickly because of September 11th. So I can tell you, I did the same thing every
all
Monday,
right.
every
Let's
Friday.
Let's hold it right there.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I don't understand why, and I have a whole list of new resistance among blue state Democrats. Why are they so interested in protecting the rights of people that didn't respect our laws, our borders, our sovereignty, entered this country with the help of Joe and Kamala Harris, aided and abetted the law-breaking, invited them in, and didn't follow through? It is insane. We have had hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans victims of violent crimes, and I don't for the life of me, and I will never understand it, why the left in this country is not standing up for the rights of Americans.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
All right, so you can't wait for Black Friday. Well, neither can Blinds.com, and they are kicking off their savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Now, the holidays are right around the corner, but there's still time to upgrade your home thanks to Blinds.com and swapping out those old blinds for custom window coverings. It's a small project, but it has massive and big results, and Blinds.com makes it simple, easy, and affordable. Now, a Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. They can even handle everything for measuring and installation, and you can get the window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost, whether it's one window or 100. You're going to love Blinds.com. Now, shop Black Friday mega deals all month long. When you go to Blinds.com, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now. That's up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free measure for a limited time, thanks to Blinds.com. Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute. When you buy something, you want to know what it costs. If you accept a job, you want to know what it pays. Those are just the most obvious examples of how information helps us make decisions. It's true at every level. We're making decisions about you and your family to making decisions about the economy. But when it's the government making the decisions, some people think otherwise. Despite a 250-year-long tradition of gathering data and information on population and the economy in the federal government, some want to sharply curtail the government's ability to gather information. Budget cuts, restrictions on what can be gathered, or even mass resistance and noncompliance. While oversight of bureaucracies like census is certainly reasonable, the across-the-board pushback on information gathering out of privacy concerns is harder to understand. Anyone who's used a credit card, cell phone, or web browser has surrendered more personal information about themselves than any census taker ever obtained. I'm Patrick Bakke.
Brought to you by...
Off your first month, Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, so Denny, we got a message here on the Montana Talks app. This is from Andy in Whitefish. So I shared the message from Senator Steve Daines about, hey, look, he was trying to get back to Washington. I mean, every senator, every congressman has done this. He's done it for 12 years that he's been in Washington. Is okay, you want to get as much time home in Montana as possible, and then you got to get up at 0:30 so you can fly back to Washington. Yep. And this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. His flight, he doesn't make it back to D.C. until 10 o'clock at night. Anyway, Andy in Whitefish says that is a lame-ass excuse from lame Danes, from Andy in Whitefish. I guess I would defend Danes here that, like, look, he's done this every year for 12 years. Yeah. But I would also say that I'm assuming now Senator Daines is also recognizing that, man, I'm going to have to be a lot closer to Washington here to keep an eye on these guys, because you don't want to get stuck at an airport, especially with the wintry weather now, and then allow some liberal federal judge to sneak in.
Or mechanical breakdowns. I have pilots come up and introduce themselves to me on the plane right now, because I have 2.6 flying miles on Delta Airlines, 2.6 million. Probably nobody in Montana has that much, including the pilots. And it's because I flew out every Monday to be in Washington, D.C. to vote, and back every Friday. The only time I didn't make it back from D.C. was Snowmageddon. Got stuck in Washington, D.C. Other than that, and then I worked the entire weekend. Jan, poor Jan, I'd be in Washington all week. I'd come back to Montana, travel all 56 counties, come in on Sunday night, get some clean underwear, and head back out Monday morning. And it's an interesting lifestyle. So somebody to make a comment like that doesn't know. It's interesting. It's fun that they can take a shot at Danes, but I can tell you it's a lot harder to make the connections work, because it's getting harder. It's harder to get a Delta flight through Salt Lake City or Minneapolis. That's the quickest way to go.
He hasn't gotten to spend a lot of time home with his family and travel in Montana, because he's been the NRSC chairman out there traveling the entire country along with President Trump to win back the Republican Senate majority. But that being said, I know it's like he'd rather be hunting right now, but he's going to be close to Washington, so that makes sure that he doesn't miss those votes.
He's like me. He doesn't do anything but business. Family kind of gets set aside, and that's a hard thing. You do the best you can with the children you've got, and I had young children at the time, but my job was to travel all 56 counties continually. I was in every one every year, and then multiple times in Butte, Bozeman, Billings, Great Falls, and Missoula.
Can I tell you a fun election night moment here a couple of weeks ago that I think you'll appreciate? So, because you remember the 2000 election when the Republicans pretty much had a sweep in the 2000 elections. That's when you won for Congress. Yeah. That's when we beat Brian Schweitzer in the Senate race, governor, everything but OPI back then. Well, we even got OPI again this year. So I run into Mike Harris, and I think E.J. Redding was there at the Armory in Bozeman for the Sheehy election night victory. The governor's there, the AG's there, everybody. And when you could quickly tell that a sweep was in the works, Mike Harris looked over me. He says, he says, I think it's about time we start looking for the broom closet. Because that's what we did at the Holiday Inn Grand Convention Center in Billings. That was the big election night party. You won for Congress, and it was a sweep. And we broke every broom out of the closet. And you could see the brooms and the mops waving in the air. I bear hugged Phyllis Burns and lifted her into the air. And
well, I can tell you what happens if you don't know what's going to happen on election night in the year 1988. I was campaign manager for Conrad Burns running against John Melcher, and we didn't know if we were going to win or lose. It was up and down and up and down. So before 8 o'clock, we took Conrad, Jack Ramirez, and myself, and we hid, and we waited, and we watched TV. And then when it became apparent that Conrad was going to defeat the incumbent, we came out in public. So it was a little different.
What time was that? Did it become clear?
It was fairly early.
When they knew how to count votes.
Well, they actually had precinct voting as opposed to single source, one place voting.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should have David Noble joining us here coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. And then Danny will keep showing me the ropes, and I'll keep showing him the ropes about the phone lines and more here. We'll talk about the show clock. You name it. Stand by.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. You might think it's impossible for you to grow your portfolio to $1 million, but it is attainable. First, you might want to start off by creating a budget and thinking about where you can slash expenses, like eating out less, not making coffee purchases every day, switching utility or cell phone providers, and buying private label products rather than big brands. You will be surprised how much those things can add up. Investing $10 a day can be enough to eventually lead to a portfolio that grows to at least $1 million in size, especially amid inflation. You could break it down to smaller chunks and aim to save $300 per month or $10 a day, whatever seems more achievable. A good first step is to determine the type of investments you can put that money into. Perhaps consider exchange-traded funds and index funds. A good bet for beginners because they help provide diversification by spreading your dollars across multiple companies. And don't forget to contribute to your workplace 401k. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News. Maybe you